January 2019 started like any other weekend for millions of American men. They grabbed their morning coffee, scrolled through social media, and went about their lives trusting the brands they'd known for decades. Then everything exploded. A single advertisement triggered the fastest consumer revolt in corporate history. Men across the country began posting furious videos, destroying products they'd been loyal to for years. Social media platforms crashed under the weight of coordinated boycott campaigns. Customer service lines were overwhelmed with cancellation demands. By Monday morning, executives at Gillette, one of America's most trusted companies, watched helplessly as a century of brand loyalty disintegrated in real time. Stock analysts scrambled to understand what they were witnessing. Financial reporters struggled to calculate the scale of destruction. The aftermath would send shockwaves through boardrooms worldwide and permanently change the rules of corporate advertising. If you want to see how a single decision can obliterate a billion-dollar empire, hit that like button and subscribe to the channel for the most shocking business disasters ever captured. To understand how this catastrophe began, we need to go back to when Gillette ruled the world. Mr. King Camp Gillette started a revolution in 1901 that would dominate masculine culture for over a century. He founded the American Safety Razor Company with a simple but brilliant idea: disposable blade safety razors that eliminated the dangerous straight razors men had used for generations. The transformation was immediate. Multiple generations of American men learned to shave using Gillette products exclusively. Fathers passed down shaving techniques to their sons using the same brand their own fathers had trusted. The morning ritual became a sacred tradition connecting men across decades. Gillette did more than sell razors. They sponsored baseball games, boxing matches, and football championships. Every major sporting event seemed to feature their advertising, creating deep emotional connections with male audiences who associated the brand with victory, strength, and success. By the 1950s, Gillette controlled shaving markets across Europe, Latin America, and Asia. The company introduced groundbreaking products like the Track 2 in 1971, the Atra in 1977, and the revolutionary Sensor in 1989. Each innovation reinforced their position as the undisputed leader in male grooming. When Procter & Gamble acquired Gillette for $57 billion in 2005, analysts called it the deal of the century. The acquisition brought together two consumer goods giants, with Gillette generating approximately $6.2 billion annually, making it one of P&G's most profitable divisions. Before 2019, Gillette maintained over 70% global market share in premium razors. They had built an empire that seemed absolutely untouchable. This empire was built on a simple promise that would soon become its greatest weakness. I'm sure you can remember the slogan, "The best a man can get." It was everywhere. The phrase debuted during Super Bowl XXIII in 1989, instantly embedding itself into American cultural vocabulary. Within months, men across the country were repeating it, believing it, and living by it. Gillette had captured something profound about male psychology. The slogan promised that using their products elevated a man above ordinary. It suggested that excellence in grooming reflected excellence in character. Every purchase became a declaration of personal standards. Celebrity endorsements reinforced this message across decades of advertising. Athletes shaved with Gillette before winning championships. Movie stars used Gillette before walking red carpets. The emotional connection was bigger than advertising. The slogan translated perfectly across international markets too, establishing American masculine ideals worldwide. European men, Latin American men, Asian men all began associating Gillette with success and superiority. Other razor companies struggled desperately to match this emotional resonance and cultural penetration. Men developed lifelong purchasing habits based entirely on this emotional connection. They paid premium prices because they believed they were buying superiority. The slogan justified every price increase, every new product launch, every market campaign. 30 years of consistent messaging built immeasurable brand equity worth billions in market value. The phrase appeared in movies, television shows, and comedy routines as shorthand for male confidence and achievement. Everything was going great for the company. But in 2018, Gillette's executives decided this legendary slogan needed to be reimagined. And the best way to modernize their brand, they thought, would be to hand creative control over to Kim Gehrig, a woman. Not just any woman, a woman who was famous for hating men. She was definitely an unlikely choice to reimagine a razor company. The Australian-born director based in London had built her career creating controversial feminist advertising campaigns. Her previous work included explicit campaigns celebrating female anatomy and challenging male authority in ways that made marketing executives uncomfortable. But discomfort was exactly what the advertising agency, Grey New York, wanted. The Grey agency specifically sought directors who would bring radical perspectives to masculine brands. They wanted to completely abandon traditional masculine messaging in favor of social justice themes. Internal meetings buzzed with excitement about evolving the conversation and challenging outdated stereotypes. The timing seemed perfect. The Me Too movement was dominating headlines, and corporate America was scrambling to position itself on the right side of history. Executives saw an opportunity to capitalize on the cultural moment of men being held accountable for bad behavior. Gehrig and her team believed traditional masculinity was inherently harmful and needed to be reconstructed. Their creative brief called for nothing less than redefining what it meant to be a man in modern America. They approached the project with missionary zeal. No men were consulted during the creative process about how the messaging would be received. The assumption was that masculine perspectives were part of the problem that needed solving. Female executives at Procter & Gamble championed the radical approach, despite warnings from marketing veterans who understood the risks. The campaign was planned as a global initiative to reshape masculine culture across all markets. They would launch simultaneously in dozens of countries, ensuring maximum cultural impact. Let's just say, what these women created didn't go down well. The We Believe ad shattered records by becoming the most hated advertisement in YouTube history. January 13, 2019, the nearly two-minute short film went live simultaneously across all Gillette social media platforms at precisely 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Marketing executives gathered in conference rooms to monitor the response, expecting the usual mix of praise and mild criticism that accompanied brand campaigns. Instead, they watched their world collapse in real time. Within the first hour, negative comments began flooding in faster than moderators could delete them. Men expressed feeling attacked, betrayed, and insulted by a brand they had trusted for decades. The comments section became a digital battleground where customers vented decades of loyalty turned to rage. By noon, the dislike count had exploded past 50,000. By evening, it reached 200,000, and within 24 hours, over 400,000 people had clicked dislike compared to a fraction of that number showing approval. The view count told an even more devastating story. Over 5 million people watched the ad on its first day, but they were driven by outrage rather than admiration. Each view represented another potential customer learning to hate the brand. Social media platforms buckled under coordinated resistance campaigns. Boycott Gillette trended globally as customers organized their fury into actionable rebellion. Instead of an advert for razors, the video felt like an attack on men, suggesting all men were guilty of Me Too-type crimes, that young boys would grow up to commit Me Too crimes, that all males were guilty of some imagined crime. Men posted videos of themselves throwing away razors, cutting up Gillette products, and dramatically switching to competitor brands. The viral destruction videos accumulated millions more views than the original advertisement. YouTube's algorithm began working against Gillette, suppressing the original video while promoting critical response content. Every related search led to parody videos, reaction channels, and angry commentary that amplified the negative messaging. The backlash spread internationally with frightening speed. Canadian men joined American boycotts. Australian customers posted angry reviews. European markets erupted with similar fury as the campaign rolled out globally. Television networks picked up the story, transforming a marketing campaign into a cultural war that dominated news cycles for weeks. While the internet burned with fury, the real destruction was happening in cash registers across America. Sales fell off a cliff. Industry analysts would later calculate that Gillette lost more money in 6 months than most companies earn in a decade. The financial devastation began immediately. Retail partners across America reported dramatic drops in Gillette purchases within the first week after the campaign launch. Walmart executives watched shelves stay full while customers walked past to competitor sections. Target managers noticed increased returns as loyal customers brought back unused products. Independent analyst Georgi Georgiev spent months dissecting the financial carnage. His research revealed that Gillette lost approximately $350 million in revenue during the 6 months following the advertisement. Gillette's commanding market share began eroding at unprecedented speed. For decades, they had maintained over 70% control of the premium razor market. Competitors had tried everything to break their stranglehold. Better technology, lower prices, celebrity endorsements. Nothing had worked against the power of customer loyalty. The We Believe campaign accomplished what billions of competitors' spending couldn't achieve. Harry's razors gained massive market share as men searched for alternatives. Dollar Shave Club saw subscription numbers explode. Even traditional competitor Schick experienced their best sales growth in years as angry Gillette customers switched allegiances permanently. The damage spread beyond razors. Shaving cream sales plummeted, aftershave products sat unsold, grooming accessories gathered dust on retail shelves. The Gillette brand had become toxic across entire product categories. Procter & Gamble's quarterly earnings reports told the disaster story in corporate language. The grooming division showed consistent declines throughout 2019. Revenue dropped, profit margins compressed, market share eroded steadily quarter after quarter. Manufacturing facilities had to scale back production due to decreased demand. Supply chains were disrupted. Operational efficiency suffered as the company adjusted to lower volume requirements. Unlike typical marketing controversies that fade within weeks, Gillette sales remained depressed for years. The damage proved permanent rather than temporary. As the financial carnage mounted, all eyes turned to Gillette's leadership for answers. When confronted with an $8 billion write-down, Gary Combe, president of P&G Global Grooming, made a statement that shocked the business world and sealed his brand's fate. The mounting criticism and catastrophic financial losses demanded answers. Industry observers expected contrition, course correction, maybe even resignations. Instead, they got defiance. Marketing Week secured the interview that would become legendary in business circles. August 2019, 6 months after the disaster began, Combe stated that the $8 billion write-down was worth paying. The words hung in the air like a confession of corporate insanity. No major CEO had ever publicly embraced such massive losses as acceptable collateral damage for marketing messaging. Combe expressed no regrets about the campaign. He confirmed Gillette would continue pursuing progressive social campaigns despite the catastrophic backlash. Traditional customers who felt alienated were an acceptable sacrifice for what he called social progress. The business community reacted with stunned silence, then explosive outrage. Shareholders demanded explanations. How could a CEO celebrate the destruction of billions in market value? Institutional investors began calling for his removal. Financial analysts struggled to find precedent for such public acceptance of marketing failure. Senior Procter & Gamble executives backed Combe's position completely. The disaster had full organizational support from the highest levels. This revealed that the campaign represented corporate philosophy, not individual miscalculation. Combe argued that alienating older customers was necessary to attract younger, more progressive consumers. He positioned the losses as proof of Gillette's commitment to social justice causes. Values mattered more than profits, he declared. Marketing professionals across industries expressed amazement. Trade publications ran articles questioning whether they were witnessing the end of traditional brand management. Business journalists called it potentially the worst CEO statement in modern corporate history. Reports emerged of internal P&G conflicts. Some employees questioned the leadership's judgment privately while publicly maintaining corporate unity. Combe's defiant stance would trigger the most profound shift in corporate marketing strategy in modern history. Every CEO the world over learned a valuable lesson from him, that alienating your core customers in pursuit of political approval leads to permanent destruction. The Gillette disaster established the fundamental rule of modern business. Know your audience or lose everything. Companies discovered that understanding your actual customers matters infinitely more than chasing cultural trends or earning media praise from journalists who will never buy your products. When brands lecture their customers instead of serving them, they risk obliterating generations of trust in minutes. Corporate virtue signaling becomes worthless when it comes at the expense of respecting the people who built your business. Modern technology amplifies customer revenge at unprecedented speed. Social media platforms can organize boycotts faster than any company can respond. A single weekend can destroy what took decades to build. Gillette lost something more valuable than money that year. They lost the loyalty and respect that had been earned over generations of reliable service. What do you think? What did Gillette do wrong? Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. If you enjoyed the story of corporate self-destruction, hit that like button and subscribe for more shocking business disasters. Ready for another empire that made one fatal decision? You will love this next video. Here you go.